That had to have been amazing. Hornell? Very cool. All right. Your friend, the Holy Spirit. It's a new series beginning today, and you don't normally hear the term, your phrase, connected to the Holy Spirit. Your friend, I mean, you might think of Jesus as your friend, but he's the third person of the Trinity. In fact, George Barna, who does a lot of Christian surveys, he did a survey a couple of years ago, and he one of the statements in his survey was the following statement, and it was this. It was the Holy, people had to either agree strongly, agree somewhat, disagree, whatever, and with these various statements. But the one statement was, this is asked of Christians now. It says, the Holy Spirit is a symbol of God's power or presence, but is not a living entity. That was the statement on the survey. The Holy Spirit is a symbol of God's power or presence, but is not a living entity. 58% of the Christians who took the survey checked either agree strongly or agree somewhat with that statement. 58%. Listen, the Holy Spirit is not a symbol of anything. There are symbols in the Bible of Him, but He is a person. Make no mistake about it. And God wants you to know the Holy Spirit. People sometimes don't have a problem connecting with the concept of God the Father. I mean, the Father was revealed in the Old Testament. Some people have an easy time connecting with the concept of God the Father or relating to God the Father in their minds because maybe they have a really good, affectionate concept of Father. And so relating to God as the Father is an easy thing for some. For others, it's not so easy. Maybe their father was harsh, gruff, or abandoned them in some way. Who knows? Or abused them, perhaps. And so the concept of God the Father, actually, because they have accepted in their soul some lies about fatherhood in general or men or what, there can actually be emotional barriers that hinder some people's ability to connect with God the Father. But then there's God the Son, Jesus. He came to earth and He died for us, His Savior. People have no problem connecting with the idea of a baby in a manger, growing up to be a man doing miracles. That's another thing. But the Holy Spirit? Now that's a little fuzzy, isn't it? The Holy Spirit can be a little fuzzier. In fact, most of the Christian cults, when I say Christian cults, I'm putting Christian in quotation marks. The cults, those that really have some foundational things wrong with what they're believing about Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit. Their ideas about the Holy Spirit are really twisted. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that the Holy Spirit is not God, not a person, but an invisible active force like a radar beam. Mormons believe that the Holy Spirit is a substance or a fluid. Christian Science believes that the Holy Spirit or Comforter is divine science. I don't quite get that. Some other cults believe that the Holy Spirit is a female spirit. Another cult believes that the Holy Spirit is the very spirit of truth latent in every human being. Now listen, the real spirit of truth is not latent in every human being. We're born in sin. We need God to forgive us and give us His Holy Spirit. So we're going to spend some time this fall just getting to know the Holy Spirit. Here's my prayer, that by the time we move into November and we're headed towards the holidays, that you will know God, you and I. I'm telling you, just preparing for this is causing me to know God better than I did before. But that we will know God better 2 months from now than we know Him today. That we'll love Him more 2 months from now than we do today. Would you agree with that prayer? I want to introduce you to my friend, the Holy Spirit. He's the most important person on the planet. He's more important than the General Secretary of the United Nations. I don't even know the General Secretary's name. He's more important than all of the G20 leaders that gathered together in St. Petersburg this week. the top economic powers. He's got more understanding than every psychologist in the world. He's got more knowledge than every professor, university book in a library, all wrapped together. He's got more knowledge than all of them. He's the most important person on the planet. He's the one the Father and the Son sent to finish the work of God on the earth. So the most important thing being done today isn't being done by our president, by the United Nations, by armies, by the National Security Agency. The most important work happening on the earth today is being done by the Holy Spirit. Amen? You can have a personal relationship with Him. That's why it's important for us to know Him. He's so important. Now, if you want to have a relationship with a person, you can't have a relationship with a person through another person. For instance, my wife and I have been married 30 years. When we got married, I didn't go up to someone else and say, "Hey, would you ask Sandy for me how many children she wants to have?" And so then he went to my wife and said, "Jack wants to know, how many children do you want to have?" And she says, "I'd like 4 children." So he comes back to me and says, "Sandy says she'd like 4 children." "Well, tell her I'd only like 2 children." So it goes over here, okay. Jack says he'd only like... No, you don't do that. That's not how you connect with a person. If you want to connect with a person, you connect with them yourself. And so many times, we want to put other people between us and the Holy Spirit. "Hey, would you just pray with me, and would you pray and ask God what His will is for my life?" Well, now wait a minute. I'll pray with you and hear with you, but I'm not going to hear for you. You've got to hear. Ask Him yourself, and take the time. Declutter your life enough so that you can listen. Get quiet in your spirit enough and in your heart enough to hear for yourself. He will talk to you. "Well, could you pray for me and give me a word from the Lord?" Well, listen, thank God for the prophetic ministry. It's a New Testament gift to the body of Christ. But God says, "Won't you come into my office and talk to me? I wouldn't mind talking to you." Would that be okay if the Holy Spirit talked to you? He wants to talk to us. Amen, Phyllis. He wants to talk to us. The kingdom of God. Jesus came. He preached the kingdom. And I shared a couple weeks ago about the kingdom, about the concept of a king and a governor, and that the governor in the Bible was so much different than the governors we have today. We have a governor in New York State. Every state has its own governor. But that governor is elected by the people, representing the people. That's not how it was in Bible days. In a kingdom, and it's not in any kingdom today, that's not how governors are. Governors are set in place by a king. They're sent there. Pilate was a governor sent from Rome. Festus in the book of Acts was a governor sent from Rome. Felix was a governor sent from Rome. There were governors sent by other kingdoms to come and bring to bear the influence of the king on that culture, to change their language, to change how they dressed, to change how they behaved, to implement taxes, to do all of that thing that would represent the king. God has sent the Holy Spirit as His governor here on earth, to govern through the church. Romans 14:17 says this: "The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." And another way of putting this would be, to, like in high school English class or junior high, where you had to pick out what's the subject, what's the verb, what are the objects, all of that. Okay, another way of saying this would be, the kingdom of God is, it's all those things, righteousness, joy, and peace. It's all of those things, but it's in the Holy Spirit. That's where the kingdom of God resides. That's where it's being exerted. That's where its influence is affecting our morality, our thinking, our behavior, our character. That's where people are given power to do the work of God. It's in the Holy Spirit that we find that. Now I want to give you some back. I'm going to give you 4 points about the Holy Spirit today, but I want to give you some background for the passage most of this is coming from. In John chapter 13, it was the Last Supper. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Even Judas was there. He washed his feet. And then John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17, all the things Jesus said in those four chapters all were said at the Last Supper before the crucifixion. Now, you think I preach long. Someday I'm going to preach as long as Jesus did. There you go, I'll fix you. All right, anyway. Four chapters, all at the Last Supper. And I'm just going to pick out a few verses from that. But that Last Supper around 9 o'clock with his disciples, around 9 p.m., or by 9 a.m. the next morning, the crucifixion was beginning. A lot happened in those 12 hours. But he wanted to say some important things to his disciples. And in John chapter 14, verse 16, he said this. He says, "I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." He's saying, I'm leaving you, but I'm not leaving you orphans. And the Holy Spirit, he's with you now. There's coming a day when he'll be in you. First point I want to make about the Holy Spirit is he's my helper. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He's your helper. That word helper is a Greek word, parakletos. It's used in the Bible several times. It's translated in different versions as helper or comforter. When I think of comforter in English, I think of a couple things, neither of which have to do with the Bible, although I can apply one of them somewhat. But one of the things I think about in English when I think about comforter is I think of a quilt, right? And I can remember when we got married, we had a quilt on our bed. And after a number of years, we moved from Ohio to New York, went to Bible school. We had very little money, and that quilt was getting ragged. I mean, it was getting ratty. It had some holes in it. It was not looking so good. And like I said, things were really tight for us. So my wife asked her mom for a new comforter for Christmas, if she would consider. And so, sure enough, her mom graciously bought us a new comforter for Christmas. And we come back from the holidays in our apartment in Lima, New York, and she's got the new comforter on the bed. Her friends come over from the Bible school or for the prayer meeting. She's showing all the ladies the new comforter. "Look at the new comforter I got on my bed. Oh, it's so pretty and fluffy and all this stuff." And I was working at UPS, you know, getting up at wee hours of the morning, so I would always go to bed first. And I went to bed in the bed with the new comforter. And I was just ready to fall asleep, and my wife looks in and says, "What are you doing?" I'm feeling like a kid here, but let's see. What am I doing? I'm laying in the bed. I'm trying to go to sleep. I'm trying to sleep. "That comforter's not for use. It's just for looks." And she takes the comforter off. And she puts the old ratty one on. I didn't care, but since then, I found out there are a number of things in my house that are not for my use. Guys, you know what I'm talking about. There's certain plates I can't use. Unless you come to my house, then together we can use those plates. There's towels that we have upstairs in a special place in a closet that if I get out of the shower naked, I cannot go grab those towels because they're not for my use. Now, if you're a guest in my house, you can use those towels. But they're not for my use. How many believers treat the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, like he's not for use? What I mean is, they'll give head, brain assent to, "I believe in the Holy Spirit, but I don't know. I just I don't know if I want to just go all in about this Holy Spirit stuff. Some things about the Spirit, my concept of Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, they just kind of scare me, so I'm just going to keep... They're not for my use. Listen, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, is for all our use. The word... Now, the other way we sometimes use the word comforter in English is means someone who helps the bereaved or the grieving. And God does that. And we ought to be vessels of comfort who do that as well. But the Bible word that's translated comforter or helper means so much more than that. It literally means someone called alongside to help and strengthen. That's who the Holy Spirit is. Someone called alongside to help and strengthen. How does he do that? John 14, going on in John 14, verse 25 and 26, he says, "These things I've spoken to you while being present with you." He says, I'm talking to you now here, but the Helper, uses the same word, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things I said to you. Do you know, this has been freeing to me. Now, memorizing the Bible is scriptural and it's a good thing to do. The psalmist said, I have hidden your word in my heart. That's a good thing to do. But when we're in the Bible, we can get so wrapped up with guilt about whether I'm memorized enough or whatever that we stay away from the Bible altogether. And the truth is, we need to read the Bible, because when the disciples weren't memorizing the things Jesus said as they lived with him those 3 years, they weren't memorizing them. But Jesus promised, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to remind you of the things I've said to you. No, so how, when we are going through this life and we need help from the Helper, we need help from God to know what to do, then we've got to give God something for the Holy Spirit to bring to our remembrance. We've got to put something in our spiritual library that the Holy Spirit can, like the disciples, they heard Jesus, so they had it in their, they had heard it, and the Holy Spirit reminded them of it later. When we read the Bible, it's not imperative that we memorize it or try to see how much of it we can remember. The important thing is that we read it and we keep getting in it. On a regular, you know, this is my daily bread, we just sang. Your very word spoken to me. You see, it can be spoken, it can jump off the page at you, but sometimes you're just reading it, and days might go by and you don't not have that experience where something jumps off the page at you, but then you got a problem and you need something, and the Holy Spirit brings something to your remembrance that you read. But you got to give him something to bring to your remembrance. You know, can you picture, you know, somebody that's been walking with the Lord a long time and the Holy Spirit, you know, they've got a problem, okay? And the problem, the answer to the problem, let's say it's in the book of Isaiah, all right? The answer to their problem is in the book of Isaiah. Now, God can bring that word to them in many ways. He can have them happen to read it that day. But what if they just don't read the Bible much? And so, the Holy Spirit's like, I want to bring that answer to them. Let me see what's in there. What's in there? Let me look inside there and see if I can bring something to remembrance that she's read. Well, let's see. There's good housekeeping in there. There's a whole stack of good housekeeping magazines in here. The Father's like, I really want to help her, but Holy Spirit's like, wow, this library's pretty thin, you know? Let's see. There's Field and Stream. This guy's got Field and Stream magazine since 1996. He's put in there, but I'm not finding Isaiah in here anywhere. Let's see. There's Facebook messages. Oh, man, you should see the Facebook messages this girl's got in her library. Oh, and then there's this bucket full of notes. What are these? Oh, these are the notes somebody sent, her boyfriend sent her in class and social studies, passed down through. There's let's see, that guy's got Captain Marvel comic books in there. What am I getting? And he gets down to, finally he finds, okay, look, the person read the Gospel of John. They read Psalm 23 and they know the Lord's Prayer. The Our Father. That's all I can find in there. He's like, Father, what do I do now? I can't bring any. This isn't where the answer is. You get my drift? Build a library that the Holy Spirit can use. Because He promises to bring to remembrance the things that He says. John 16:7, Jesus said, I nevertheless, I tell you the truth. He said this though, it's to your advantage I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. What is He saying? Why wouldn't it be to our advantage to have Jesus walking on the earth today? Couldn't He straighten stuff out? Couldn't He do the work of God so much better if He were just here, visible, in a body like He was 2,000 years ago? I mean, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God was revealed in many ways, right in the creation. It says in Genesis that the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. So you see the Spirit of God move, you know, at work in the Old Testament. The Spirit of God came on people, came upon Saul, Samuel, David, the prophets. Then you get to Jesus, and it says the Holy Spirit fell on Him when He was baptized. The Bible says in John chapter 3, John says that He was filled with the Holy Spirit without measure. He had all of the Holy Spirit in Him. So think about that. Do you see the Holy Spirit moving on His own during those 3 years that Jesus walked on the earth in a body? No. You see Jesus doing stuff. Where was the Holy Spirit during those 3 years? In Jesus. If you want to picture this, the Holy Spirit was trapped in a body. The one who created the universe was trapped in one body with two legs, one mouth, and two hands. And Jesus said, it's better for you if I go away. Because if I go away, you see, right now, the Holy Spirit is like trapped. He's around Capernaum most of His ministry. He's right here in this little pocket of the world, trapped in time and space. It's good for you that I leave. I know you like that I'm healing you. You like my teaching, He says. But it'd be better if I go. Why? Because right now, I have the Holy Spirit in me. And if I go to my Father, this is what He's saying. If I go to my Father, then the Holy Spirit can come to you, to all of you. To all of you who believe, you can have the Holy Spirit. And so when He says that, I tell you surely that even greater things than these shall you see if I go to my Father. He wasn't saying that Jack Hempfling was going to heal more people than Jesus did. But what He's saying is greater things are going to happen in the body of Christ because my Spirit is going to be poured out on millions of believers. Millions who are doing the healing and millions who are preaching and teaching and millions who are being my hands and feet all over the planet. There's no place they can. There are the body of Christ is in Saudi Arabia right now. There are Christians going in Mecca, praying inside Mecca. Because of their citizenship in Arab countries, they have access to Mecca, and they're going into Mecca and praying, pretending to be Muslims when they're not. There are Christians in every corner of the world because it's true what Jesus said. It's better I go away because then He's not trapped here anymore. He's available to you. Second point I want to make is that the Holy Spirit establishes me. John 16, verse 8 says, when He has come, He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and see you no more. And you will see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. He says, the Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to convict the world of sin. That happened to me when I was 23 years old. I wasn't in church. I was in a living room, and I was convicted. The Holy Spirit, He and me, He came to me and showed me that I did not know God. I had known about God for years, but I didn't know Him, and my sin was between me and Him. And there in my living room in that apartment, I got down on my knees. And I got forgiven. I got born again right there. It was the Holy Spirit that convicts a person of sin. It's the Holy Spirit's job to do that. He convicts the world of righteousness, it says. Denise, can you keep that verse up there a moment? Of righteousness, because I go to my Father. He says, because if you believe in me and your sin's forgiven, I'll go to my Father, I'll be the advocate, and the word righteousness means to be in right standing with God. Do you want to feel like before God, I am in right standing? Do you want to have that confidence? It's the Holy Spirit that gives a person that confidence. When He convicts you of sin and you ask forgiveness, then He gives you this confidence that you're righteous. And then He goes on to say of judgment. He convicts the world of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Satan is the one the Bible calls the ruler of this world. Now here's how I have interpreted this verse without thinking it through. I've interpreted this verse in my mind for years, this whole passage, this way. This is how I would have, if I had to rewrite it. The Holy Spirit's job is to convict you that you're a sinner, that you're unrighteous, and that God's going to get you. That's not what it's saying at all. What it's saying is, His job is to convict us that once I believe in Him, I'm in good standing with God, and the enemy no longer has any power or authority over my life. That's what He's saying. So He establishes us in faith and in truth and what Jesus did for us. The third thing is that the Holy Spirit is my friend, and He's not weird. I had to hit on this today. Because this is some of what causes people to hold back. Don't you think the devil has tried to get us convinced that the Holy Spirit is weird? I mean, how many of you have ever seen weird things done in the name of the Holy Spirit? Yeah. There's a whole lot of other people that have. They're just not raising their hand. People will do strange things and say, well, the Holy Spirit made me do that. No, you're just weird. You'd be weird if you didn't have the Holy Spirit. Come on. There were, in Pentecostal history, there have been groups who were really, serious about the fact that nobody should wear makeup. I mean, Amish looking was the only right way to live. And then there have been other groups where there's so much thick makeup, you wonder, is there anybody in there under that? That's why some people like, you know what? I want the Holy Spirit, but maybe just in little teeny tiny doses. Because the Holy Spirit, you know, he's just a little wild. No, He's not. He is not wild. The Holy Spirit is compassionate, kind, responsible, sensitive, a gentleman. The Holy Spirit's a friend. Another work of the enemy is that when, you know, in church history, there were some things that, when you read the book of Acts, you think, wow. That church was alive. Things were happening. And then you follow church history and you get into the Middle Ages and you think, what happened? How did they ever get from the book of Acts to this? Church looks dead. But God began to restore some things. Martin Luther came along. God restored salvation by faith through in grace. And there was more that God began to add to the church and add to the church and add to the church. And then there was the Azusa Street and the revival that where the Holy Spirit was poured out and people were filled with the Holy Spirit. But you know, the enemy probably got a little bit afraid, because in the book of Acts, those who were filled with the Holy Spirit were turning the whole world upside down. And I can't imagine that the enemy would get excited about millions of believers turning the world upside down. And so he wanted to stir up some fear of the Holy Spirit. And he wanted to stir up some tension and some division. There were things that some said with good intentions. There were things said like, well, if you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have to have a certain evidence that the Holy Spirit has filled you. You know what I'm talking about? That one gift, the spooky one. So they would say, well, did they get the Holy Spirit? I don't know. Did you hear the evidence? Did you get the evidence of the Holy Spirit? Well, I don't know. First, you got some people with a prideful spirit thinking, I have the evidence and they don't. Then you've got others feeling guilty because, well, I pray, I want God to fill me with the Holy Spirit, but I didn't get the evidence. That one gift. Listen, so the enemy wanted to make it controversial. I think benefits would be a better word. The Holy Spirit gives benefits. He's a friend. Remember what the definition of helper is? One who comes alongside and gives strength and helps. He gives his love. Remember 1 Corinthians 13 is right in the middle of that whole discussion of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the love of God. He gives the gifts of the Holy Spirit for the need, for the moment. For every need, there are gifts that God wants operating through His body. There's the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, self-control. There's others that I'm not remembering right off the top, but the fruit of the Spirit. There's all benefits. And yes, that one gift that's so controversial is a benefit too. It's a good thing. Paul says, I wish you all did it. I wish you all used it as much as I did. Don't let it be a point of division. Don't let it be something that holds you back from the helper, our friend. Are you okay with that so far? All right. We can't live this Christian life without him. He's a helper. How many of you need help in your life? We need help. Fourth point, he's God. He is God. Now, the Bible, you know, doesn't use... Here's one of the basic foundational doctrines of the Bible is the Trinity, and the Bible never uses the word. Trinity isn't in there. But the Trinity is all over the Bible. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 6:4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." The word God is actually the Hebrew word Elohim. It's a plural word. Hebrew has three forms of words. There's singular, dual, and plural. Dual is two, plural is three or more. The word Elohim is a plural word for God. It means at least three. And so you could translate that word using more English words. You could maybe translate it more accurately. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, at least three, is one composed Lord. And in the Old Testament, you see God talking to himself. The first person to talk to themselves was God, not you. He said, "Let us make man in our image." Who is he talking to? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Isaiah got a vision of heaven, saw the Lord, and he heard these words: "Who will go up for us? Who will we send? Who will go up for us?" For us? The third person of the Trinity It's all over the Bible. In Luke chapter 3, it says the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon Jesus. And a voice came from heaven, a voice from the Father, and said, "You're my beloved Son," the second person. "I'm well pleased." The Holy Spirit descended, the third person. Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, "Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name," singular, "in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira lie to Peter. And Peter says, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" And he goes on and he says, "Why have you conceived these things in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." You lied to the Holy Spirit. You lied to God. It's a pretty sobering line, isn't it? The Holy Spirit, He's a friend. He's not weird. He's God. He's a helper. He's the one that establishes you in the faith. How many of you are willing to take a step of faith just to say to the Lord, "Lord, I want to know You better. I want to love You more. I want You to fill my heart. I want to know You better. I just want us all to stand to our feet this morning. I want to ask Henry, you've got worship team ready, altar ministry teams to come forward. Why is it important to know that the Holy Spirit is God? Because some people give themselves some wiggle room in this way. With this thought, they give themselves some wiggle room. They're like, "Well, I believe in God and I'll trust God," and they claim to be yielded to God. But because of some perceptions about the Holy Spirit, they hold back to yielding to the Holy Spirit. And I've heard some Christians in some circles say things to. I've overheard things like this: "Well, watch out for those people who talk about the Holy Spirit." Now, think about that for a minute. Watch out for those people who talk about God. These are Christians. They're saying, "Watch out." You hear the misperceptions in their heart. Watch out for those that talk about the Holy Spirit. You don't have to watch out for those that talk about the Holy Spirit. You want to run after the Holy Spirit. I want Holy Spirit. I want all of You. I want to know You. I want You to fill me. Using some scriptures, I took just little phrases of what the Bible says about what the Holy Spirit does. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit. This is why you've got to conclude the Holy Spirit's a person. Because a force couldn't do this. A invisible force or a liquid or a substance can't do this. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us and through us. The Holy Spirit calls and qualifies. He hears, He speaks, He teaches, He guides. The Holy Spirit always will glorify and reveal Christ. The Holy Spirit brings all the words of Christ to our remembrance. The Holy Spirit shows us things to come. He knows the deep things of God. He searches the heart. He searches all things. The Holy Spirit gives liberty. Writers of Scripture spoke as moved upon by the Holy Spirit. We are warned not to grieve or quench the Holy Spirit. The Bible says sinning against the Holy Spirit is unpardonable. Why? Because you're sinning against the only one who can reveal Christ, the Savior, who can save us and forgive us and give us eternal life. Christ is the only one we can be saved by, so sinning against and the Holy Spirit's the one that reveals Him, so if we sin against the Holy Spirit, we've cut ourselves off from Christ. The Bible says unless we're born of the Holy Spirit, we can't even enter the kingdom of God. Bible says we're convicted by the Holy Spirit. We're born again by the Holy Spirit. We're led by the Holy Spirit. And we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? Wow. He's bigger and deeper than we can capture in one morning, I'll tell you that. We're going to just dive headlong, Lord, into learning, getting to know You, the Holy Spirit. Jesus, You said You would leave for a while and then You would come back. But You came back by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. You're one with the Spirit, and You came back by the Spirit. And Holy Spirit, You are with us. And if we'll ask You, You'll be in us. If you want the Holy Spirit to be in you, just lift up your hands to Him. Just lift up your hands. Oh God, fill me with Your Holy Spirit today. Forgive me, Lord, of ever holding back from Your Spirit. I want You in me. I will yield to You, Holy Spirit. I'm not afraid anymore. Forgive me for being afraid of You. Forgive me of doubting You. Come, Lord Jesus. Make no mistake about it. You can see Him. You can hear Him. You can feel Him. By the Spirit. By faith. He'll come. Lord, we open our hearts to You. Let me tell you this. If you want to, this is just a very special presence of the Lord here. I just know that there's some, if you feel like, you know, I've made a decision to trust God to a level deeper than I have before, I just want you to lift your hands. Say, I'm trusting Him in a level deeper than I ever have before. Amen. Amen. Thank You. Father, we ask You to confirm this word again and again by visiting us. Some of you are going to come up here today and be prayed for. You're going to ask one of these altar teams to pray for you, and God's going to really bless you. It may be you have a practical need, something you've just been carrying in here and you want to leave it at the presence of the... You want to apprehend the helper's help, his strength today. Maybe it's for physical needs, something else going on in your life. But every need you have, God saves, as we sang earlier, and He's here by the power of the Holy Spirit. He saves you from sin. He saves you from sickness. He saves you from that situation you and your family are in. He saves you. You need Him. You need the Helper. He wants to give you benefits. He wants to deposit gifts in you. He wants the fruit of His character, the nature of the kingdom of God, to come out in you more and more. What do you see? You need more patience? Find you're not very kind? Gentle? It's the character of God, the fruit of the Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to work in you those things. This is the season. This is the day. We get to know Spirit of God. Some of you, let's just pray this prayer. Father, just repeat after me. Father, I want to know Your Spirit as my friend. Jesus, You said You would send the Holy Spirit, that He would be with me and in me. Fill me with Your Spirit. He loves to answer that prayer. He's going to meet you. Some of you are going to, He's going to meet you in quiet times in your bedroom at night. He's going to meet you when you have a few moments alone, here and there, in the car, in the morning when you rise up, in your sleep. He's going to meet you. You ask Him to come in. He's going to fill you. We're going to be talking more and more and more about the Holy Spirit. But this isn't about teaching doctrine on the Holy Spirit. This is about meeting Him and encountering Him. That's what we want. The neat thing about being thirsty, we sang about being thirsty, and all who are thirsty, when you drink just a little bit, those of you who took a step today to say, I trust You, when you take a step and drink, you get more thirsty. Unlike natural thirst, when you drink water, then you're not as thirsty anymore. When you drink the Spirit of God, you get more thirsty. I got to have more. Go for more. Open up that Bible. Give him a library to work with. Talk to Him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord. Three persons of the Trinity. He's good. Taste Him. And you get more hungry. It's all good. Avail yourself of the altar ministry teams. Avail yourself of refreshments in the hall. Remember to connect with Donna, you ladies who signed up for Women of Faith. She's got information you need to have. Feel free to spend as much time. We'll let this place up here be a place of prayer and ministry to you. Let these folks just pray with you, minister to you. If you've been scared of the Holy Spirit and you want to really experience Him in a new way, He's like, would you just pray with me? I want all the Holy Spirit. Let them pray with you. God bless you.